Good morning. It is good to see so many of you here on this hot, hot July morning. Can you hear? July. What did I say? I'm already into July. Doesn't it feel like July? I thought more of you would stay home in your air conditioning, so it's good to see you. I wish you could see. Ben's got it. I just see fingertips and eyes. That's all I see. Yeah, that's what we need. Booster seats for our pews. We welcome our visitor this morning and all those who will be worshiping with us through our CD ministry. And on that note, if anyone, young, middle-aged, old, wherever you fall on your journey, if you feel called to help out with the CD ministry, especially during the months of July and August, Tom could really use the help and the assistance back there. There may be some Sundays where we'll look back there and there will be an empty seat. So with all the animals and 4-H and a huge barn being built, sometimes it's difficult to get here on Sunday mornings, especially on time to get the CD up and running. So if you would like to learn how to do that, that would be a wonderful thing. So maybe hold that in prayer, and we'll hope that you feel called. Some announcements today. This afternoon, Buchanan will be having a congregational meeting, a potluck meal, and then their session. Do hold them in prayer this day. This is their congregational meeting where they will have their formal vote to make September 12th their last day of worship there, with a celebration that afternoon sometime to celebrate the 184 years of ministry that they have had, and they're continuing ministry and legacy in this church, since they are the mother church of this church. So do hold them in prayer this day. Also, to remind everyone, on July 4th, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper here at our church. One of the things over the past couple years, more and more people have been saying they would love to have communion through the summer, and also to be able to have it monthly. And I know for some that is a big change. We've come from a time where we maybe did it quarterly or just on high holy days of the church. But this table, the Lord's table, is what we are gathering around every Sunday when we come together. Even though we're out in the pews, it is this table and the sacrament of baptism, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that brings us together and reminds us who we are and whose we are. And so it is a sacred meal. It is a celebration of our journey and our call into ministry. So as you look in the bulletin, you'll see the dates for up and coming communion of the Lord's Supper for the remainder of the year. And you'll notice that in November and December, there are two different dates for communion, one because of the first Sunday of the month, and then one because of a special day within our liturgical year and our liturgical season. Seems like are there any other announcements? Okay. A finance meeting this evening at 7 o'clock here. Okay.
In the heating season, it's important that we let it run because we're circulating the heat. Now, I don't think it's necessary.
All right.
That fan didn't start. It just kind of tried to start. And I took the pole back here. We have changed the banners and got it started. And it's running.
Okay.
So I think it's important right now not to run on the weather. And if you try to come in and the fan doesn't start, then you kind of give it a
All right.
This fan is, I'm not
All right. If you are here for any event or during the evening that happens to be up here in the sanctuary, just remember the fans don't need to be on any other time except when we're here for worship.
And if that doesn't start, maybe give it a little bit.
Okay. All righty.
It's not these generic sewer fans. It has an oil cap, and so it's oil in oil all the time.
Okay.
So I don't know what all right. have to do, but don't leave it. The time to start.
Okay. Either give it a push to run or turn the fans off.
Right.
All right. Any other announcements?
One thing we talked about.
Yes. All right. After worship, if you're not taking your bulletin home to share it with someone or to use it as a devotional, if you could leave it for our CD ministry, that would be helpful because extras are printed, but we probably always need a few more. So one other announcement. It's not in the bulletin, but you can mark your calendars. On July 25th, we are going to be having a joint worship service with Buchanan at 9 o'clock. The Louisville-Weber reunion will be happening during that weekend, and one of their family members, Mary, and her last name escapes me right now, is a Presbyterian minister out in New Mexico, I believe it is, and so she'll be leading the worship service and preaching, and we should have some guest musicians, so mark your calendar July 25th, that Sunday. It's out there at Buchanan. Yeah. So we're hoping to fill the church. Any other announcements? Hear these words from Scripture as we prepare our hearts to worship God this day. Oops, there's one other announcement. Sorry. During the prayer time today on page 3 in your bulletin, you'll notice something a little different in our prayer time. As we begin our prayers of the people, we will have a minute of quiet prayer for discernment and the thoughts of your own prayers that you feel called to lift up that day. Then we'll move into our time of sharing our prayers of joy and thankfulness and our concerns. And then we will have a minute of quiet prayer as we hold each one of those prayers that has been shared this day in our hearts and lift them to God. So now let us worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of the one who called you out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Thank you. You are invited to rise in body, heart, spirit, and soul. Let us join in our call to worship. We keep the Lord always before us. Because God is at our right hand, we shall not be moved. Therefore, our hearts are glad and our souls rejoice. Our bodies also rest secure. For you do not give us up to the grave, nor let your faithful ones see the pit. You show us the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy. Let us pray. Jesus Christ, God's only Son, we follow you this day and every day, having counted the cost of discipleship, remaining resolved to be and become your people. We gather together not because we are more worthy or more clever or more blessed than others, but because you have found us and we have answered your call. We praise you and thank you for having found us. May we enter into your fellowship through your spirit and our actions. These things we pray in your holy name. Amen. Our opening hymn, Ye Servants of God, Your Master Proclaim, number 26. Our call to confession this Sunday. Remember that Jesus can sympathize with us in our weaknesses, since in every respect he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with boldness approach the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Let us confess our turning from God's love and command to love one another as ourselves. Praying together, saying, O God, in Jesus Christ you call us to follow. You walk in your ways and to seek your truth. Jesus keeps calling, but we keep turning away, finding excuses and giving our hearts to other gods. Still Jesus calls us in spite of our sin, helps us to hear him. Release us from the entanglements that prevent us from following him. Forgive our sins and draw us ever closer. Amen. You are invited into a time of silent reflection and prayer. Amen. The time of waiting is over. A new creation now begins. Our faithful God has heard our prayer. Salvation is at hand. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand. God of abundant life, your grace is our daily bread. Nourish us by your word and fill us with your spirit so that we may grow in faith and love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading this Sunday is found in 2 Kings chapter 2. Verses 1 through 2 and verses 16 through 14. 2 Kings 2. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went to Bethel. Continuing at verse 6. Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other, till the two of them could go over on dry land. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into the heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen." And as he saw him, and he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. When he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Our next reading is our responsive reading, Psalm 77, verses 1 through 2, and then continuing at 11 on page 644 in the Pew Bible. Psalm 77, verses 1 and 2, and then continuing at 11. And we'll read the last verse together. I'll read the odd, if you would read the even. I cry aloud to God. I cry aloud, and he hears me.
In times of trouble, I pray to
And then continuing at verse 11, I will remember your great deeds, Lord. I will recall the wonders you did in the past. Everything you do, O God, is holy. No God is as great as you.
You are a God who works miracles. You showed your might among the nations.
By your power, you saved your people, the descendants of Jacob and of Joseph. The clouds poured down rain, thunder crashed from the sky, and lightning flashed in all directions. You walked through the waves, you crossed the deep sea, but your footprints could not be seen. You led your people like a shepherd, with Moses and Aaron in charge. Our next reading is found in Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1, and then continuing at 13. Galatians 5, 1, and then continuing at 13. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And our gospel lesson this Sunday is found in the gospel according to Luke, Luke 9, verses 51 through 62. Luke 9, 51 through 62. And I am, again, reading from the English Standard Version. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to tell the fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, I must first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. These are the words of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Creating God, loving God, calling, beckoning God. May the words of my mouth this day and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you as we go forth, your people, your disciples in this world. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Jesus is on a journey that continues. I think it's easy, though, to forget about this journey. This ordinary time of year that we are in is just sort of this gap, if you will, because in November, December, we start Advent. And then from Advent, we celebrate Christmas. And then we move from Christmas into Epiphany, and then we move into Lent, and then Holy Week. And then there's a little bit of a break, and then we anticipate Pentecost. And then we could easily just scatter until Advent happens again sometime after Thanksgiving, and we begin to move through the holidays. This gap. But this gap that happens in here is the continuation of the life, the ministry, the calling of Jesus, God incarnate, the Word made flesh in our world to reveal God's love to us. And this day we find Jesus continuing on his journey. But there are a couple of points of interest that Luke is definitive about revealing to us. The first is that Jesus has set his face to Jerusalem. Jesus isn't just stopping along the way to just enjoy the day or meet some new people and do some more healing and maybe preach some more good news about the coming kingdom of God. No, Jesus knows his full calling. And then he sends messengers on to this little village in Samaria. But we're told that they rejected him. They don't want him to come. They tell his people, just keep him out of here. We don't want him here. And these guys get ticked. I mean, James and John get so angry that they go up to Jesus and like, let us bring down the fires of heaven on these people. I mean, come on. They've surely heard about you. And Jesus rebukes James and John. And he says, no, let's just go on our way to another village. This first portion of our gospel reading today is significant for a couple of reasons. One, if you recall, after Jesus' baptism, when God, the Holy Spirit, descends upon Jesus, he says, this is my beloved, my son, my child. In him I am well pleased. And then he returns home to Nazareth, and he's rejected. And now today, if you go back in Luke, you'll see or remember that this is right after his transfiguration. And he goes to Samaria and they reject him as well. But their rejection is a little different because Jesus, remember, is a Jew. And the Jewish people, especially the Jews of Jerusalem and the people of Samaria, well, they just don't get along. They've never gotten along. And now here comes this man who sends this party ahead of him to prepare the way for him. They could care less. Their hospitality is not for him. And Jesus, the one who is journeying in love to reveal God's love for all people, says to his disciples and reminds them, just shake the dust off of your clothing. Knock it off. It's okay. They're not ready to hear us yet. They're not ready to hear me. So let's continue on our journey. We're not told that Jesus rebukes the people of Samaria, but his own followers. For they have forgotten the words that Paul has reminded us of this day, that we are to love one another. So on they go on their journey. And as he's walking along, people are coming up to him. The first one says, "I'll follow you, but first of all, I have to take care of some things." I'm sorry, the first one says, "I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus reminds him that this is no easy task that this man is proclaiming to do, to follow him, because Jesus is sort of an itinerant preacher, if you will. He's moving and moving and moving. He relies on the hospitality of people, and not everyone is going to be hospitable. Not even the Son of Man has a place to lay his head. So you can follow me, but no, it's not going to be easy. The next one, Jesus says to him, "Follow me," just like the disciples at the seashore. But this one says, "Lord, first let me go home and bury my father." And Jesus says to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Now, when you come right down to it, this sounds like a pretty insensitive, off-the-wall thing for this man who is supposed to be preaching about God to say. Leave the dead to bury the dead? How can someone say something so cruel? I'm just supposed to forget about all the rites, all the rituals, all the ceremony that you know is supposed to take place to make sure that my loved one departs this life. But Jesus says, no, you're going to go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Set your eyes to the future. I recently heard a quote, I believe it's from Winston Churchill, and Winston Churchill said, "The farther that we can look back into the past, the more distant we can look into the future." Jesus is saying to this person, though, don't look back, look forward. Set your face to go with me. There is greater things. There are greater things to happen. There is good news that is yet to be revealed. And then to the next one, he says, or the one says to him, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus says, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This call into discipleship is a tough one. And Jesus knows it, for he lives it. He proclaims it. But he goes one step farther to proclaim the salvation of God, the love of God for all of us. But we've got to admit, it is much easier for us on our life's journey to say we are a Christian, to have arrived at being a Christian through our baptism. And that arrival means that, well, we try to do good in this world. We go to church. We try to be kind to other people. We read our Bible. We pray daily. That's what most people would probably think when we say that, well, I'm a Christian. They have certain expectations of us. But this calling to discipleship, that's something that can be far more difficult to do. I'm reminded of a story of a young woman who had gone off to medical school. You can imagine how happy her parents must have been. Years of study and possibly even sacrifice on their behalf to get her into med school. And she's listening to a sermon one day in church. on the call of discipleship and listening to God's beckoning and leading. She comes up to the pastor after the church service and says, "I want to thank you so much. I've been struggling. You see, I'm a medical student, and I'm not so sure that that's where I really am supposed to be. And because of this sermon today, I've decided to leave medical school." And the pastor said, "You're going to do what because of the sermon today?" She said, "I have decided that God is calling me to leave medical school." And she did. She left, and she went off to the Rio Grande Valley. And her work was to live and sleep under a piece of tin on the back of a pickup truck and preach and tell children the story of Jesus as their parents worked in the fields. Well, her parents, needless to say, were just baffled and wondered what in the world had happened to their daughter. I mean, let's face it, look at the number of people that she could have helped and she could have healed by going to medical school. But the call that she heard in her heart was that of going and preaching and telling the stories of Jesus to children of migrant workers. There's another story about a gentleman by the name of Dr. Fred Craddock. Now, if you're a minister out in the world, you know this man very, very well, because he has written a lot of books on homiletics, or, that's the big word, or preaching. Now, when Fred Craddock, Dr. Craddock, was, I believe, still in seminary, he heard that Albert Schweitzer was going to be in Cleveland to give an organ concert at a very large church there. And not only was Albert Schweitzer a master organist, but he was also a medical doctor, a philosopher, a biblical scholar, a lecturer, a writer, and a missionary. Following the concert, Dr. Schweitzer was going to remain in the fellowship hall for a dialogue and discussion with those who had questions for him. You can imagine how amazing and exciting that would have been to be able to actually converse with Albert Schweitzer. Well, Craddock goes on to tell that he had read Dr. Schweitzer's groundbreaking book, Quest for the Historical Jesus. And as a naive 20-year-old ministerial student, he had disagreed with many of the conclusions that Albert Schweitzer had come to in his classic work. So Craddock bought a Greyhound bus ticket and went to Cleveland. And all the way there, he listed the statements in Schweitzer's book, which he had disagreed with, along with specific references and page numbers that he could reference when he had this opportunity to talk to him. This was going to be his one chance to expose this scholar's faulty conclusions about Jesus. Craddock went there, heard Schweitzer's marvelous concert, then rushed to the fellowship hall, got a seat in the front row, and waited with his questions for the world-renowned scholar. After a while, Schweitzer came in, shaggy hair, big white mustache, stooped, and 75 years old. 55 years, Craddock's senior. Schweitzer came in with a cup of tea and some refreshments, stood in front of the group, and said, "You've been very warm and hospitable to me. I thank you for it. I wish I could stay longer among you, but I must go back to Africa because my people there are poor and diseased and hungry and dying, and I have to go. We have a medical station at Lambourine. If there's anyone here in this room who has the love of Jesus, would you be prompted by that love to go with me and help me?" And Craddock said he looked down at all his notes and his lap full of questions. And all of a sudden, those carefully crafted questions seemed utterly stupid and irrelevant. Craddock said it was there that day that he learned what it means to be a Christian and had hopes that he could be that some day. In that statement that Albert Schweitzer made, "But I must go back to Africa because my people there are poor and diseased and hungry and dying," he realized and knew that we are not separated by anything when we are one in Christ. We are the body of Christ in the world. All races, all ethnicities, there are no boundaries or borders between us, which is difficult when our socioeconomic and political system gets us riled up about those people, wherever, whoever those people are. But we are reminded by Jesus that we are to love one another as the body of Christ. That is our call to discipleship, for all people are our people. We are one. Amen. Our next hymn is Amazing Grace, number 391. as we prepare for this time of sharing our prayers of thankfulness, our joys, and our concerns, let us enter into a minute of quiet prayer. Let us pray. Amen. You are invited now to share your prayers. Julie. Ruby Seboff fell yesterday, and they took her to Barnesville. So we will keep her in our prayers. Tuesday. Traveling mercies for Ruby as she heads back to Seattle. Did I say for Ruby? For Annie. Traveling mercies for Annie as she heads back to Seattle. They didn't. Locally? Really?
Kind of over by Freeport.
Oh my goodness. There's a bear loose in Freeport. Be careful. We're thankful too. A bear. Any other prayers?
It wasn't the cubs that they saw before.
Oh.
They've been seeing cubs.
But this was a full grown.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true. At least a mommy and a daddy. Any other prayers? You're going to be there with the first aid kit. And Brandon turns 14 today, and Carol said in a weak moment that she and Wally agreed to have a riding party for him for his birthday. So there will be four-wheelers out at their home. And lots of other adults. That's part of it. Yeah, the adults come with the kids. Prayers that everyone stays safe and it's just a good time. Any others? Let us have a time of silent prayer now to hold all of those prayers in our hearts and to lift them to God. Let us continue in a heart of prayer. Lord, we lift up to you today your church throughout the world, that we might be the body of Christ to all who need love, kindness, patience, peace, mercy, that those who need to hear of eternal salvation might receive your Son and your Holy Spirit and enter into their journey of discipleship. And on this day, O Lord, we ask your prayers for our mother church here in this community, for Buchanan, as they are called to continue on in their journey as the church. We ask that you grant them peace and comfort in this time of sadness and mourning and uncertainty, and this time of preparing for celebration and joy for the ministry that they have had. Lord, we ask your blessing upon all those who suffer in this world, from disease that is not cured, from hunger that never seems to end, from fear and lack of safety in war-torn areas. We ask, O Lord, that you give us the strength and the wisdom to tend to and care for your creation as you have given us the stewardship over. We ask, O Lord, that there might be minds that come together, whomever they are, wherever they are from, that they might stop this oil spill in the Gulf, the devastation that is occurring to our country, the devastation that is occurring for so many families and their livelihood, the devastation that we have no idea how far into the future will have effect. And the fear and concern that we have, O Lord, as we kneel before you, that the waters may carry this disaster even farther in your world. Grant us, O Lord, that wisdom and that speed of movement and action to settle this and take care of this once and for all. And then we ask, O Lord, your blessing upon our leaders, that you grant them wisdom and the courage to step out and be leaders of all people, not those just who have power and wealth in the world, but for those that have the least, those who have none, that all might receive care and love and know they were all children of God. You call us to a great task, O Lord, but we know that you call us to a task that you have equipped us for and that you prepare the way for. Release us from the fears of our humanness, the fears of our sinfulness, the fears of not following our laws, that we might know your commandment to love you and to love one another. Strengthen us, O Lord, on this day for our journey as we follow you, your disciples. And hear us now, O Lord, as we pray for those that we call by name, for Jim Newhart, Reverend Robert Phillips, Sandra Turner, Tom Billings, Mary Jo Hammond, Jack Hammond, Sarah and Sean Galilean, Aiden Russell, Mike Caravelle, Carly Sue Williams, Ashley Shoemaker, John Patster, Mary Morris, Ronald Bub Howell, Linda Hanna, Jennifer Edgel, Monica Long, Rick Williams, Sally Jackson, Gabriel Kayetta, Chuck Henning, Donna Beery, Gloria Jean West Godwin, Mitch Clift, Danny Olam, Bob LeCrone, Isla Forney, Cecile Waters, Bill Hoag, Sherry and Dalton Patterson, Joe Fetty, Mike Hines, Charlotte Schuerman, Linda Andrews, and all who ask us to pray, O Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts this day. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we pray as Jesus has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The way to Jerusalem was costly for Jesus. The way to Christian faithfulness is costly today. It requires nothing less than the full commitment of our lives. Our offering is a symbol of our life in the Spirit, our total commitment to the reign of God. Let us gather our gifts. Let us pray together, saying, Gracious God, we would not know it would cost so much or feel so good to follow Jesus. We are grateful that we have so much to give and so much yet to learn. We dedicate our offerings so that we and our neighbors may be equipped for life in your realm. Amen. Walk by the Spirit, showing the fruit of the Spirit, giving thanks to God in all circumstances. We will call to mind the many deeds of God. We will meditate on the wonderful works of God. God grants true freedom to those who love, who walk in faithfulness all their days. God walks with us on our daily journey. We receive the Spirit's gifts to guide us. Stand upon the promises of God. Amen. Our closing hymn is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, number 268. And let us sing verses 1, 3, and 4. God's love. In the name of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.